Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It is now time to get to our 7-7 top headlines. Let's start off with the NBA playoffs. The Milwaukee Bucks scorched Miami in a 132-98 win. Milwaukee makes the most franchise threes in history, going 15 of 29 from the three-point line in that first half alone. Milwaukee just kept on rolling, taking a two-game lead in the series. Bucks cover over Cassius, Kev.
Yeah, and I don't know if there was a single Miami number live that they would have covered. I mean, they just got absolutely blasted. A 34-point victory, the largest first-quarter lead in NBA playoff history, the Milwaukee Bucks tying an all-time record, up 26. They came out hot. They never looked back.
Yeah, no, they did not at all. Another game on the board last night. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets leveled the series with a 128-109 win over Portland. Now Jokic scored 38 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, shooting 15 of 20 from the floor, 2 of 3 from the three-point line. He was on fire. Now Damian Lillard also had a great game with 42 points, but his efforts just were not enough to win game 2.
Yeah, again, Dame had a moment there in the second quarter. I mean, I think he came and hit 4 threes in a row. It was unbelievable to watch. But as you said, it wasn't enough. And this is the worry about Portland, and it's that defense. As they gave up 128 to Denver, and it didn't feel fluky. It felt like they would be able to consistently find an edge. And I'll tell you this as well. I mean, they've got nothing for Nikola Jokic. Nurkic gives them a slight chance. Outside of that, they are absolutely hopeless against the likely MVP. 15 of 20, 38 points, as you mentioned. Just a smooth performance for the Joker.
And how about Utah's Jordan Clarkson winning the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award, edging out his teammate Joe Ingles and Derrick Rose? Now, TNT showed these two teammates kind of giving the award to each other in the press conference, so it was really fun to watch, Kev.
Absolutely, but I cannot stress enough how this had to be a nightmare for people that bet the Sixth Man of the Year. Like, when they give out the MVP, they're not going to have Jokic next to Steph, or they're not going to have LaMelo Ball next to Anthony Edwards for Rookie of the Year. These were the two guys that were down the stretch going to win this award. Like, you're sat there on a Clarkson ticket, get Joe Ingles off my screen. Similar feelings if you had the Ingles bet. Ultimately, Joe pulls out the trophy, hands it to Clarkson. You win that bet if you made it on Jordan Clarkson. The Jazz, home of the sixth man this year, as it really came down to those two guys. Clarkson, though, at one point about a minus 6,000 favorite, closes the deal and wins that award.
Yes, he does. Great award for him to win. Also, let's get to some NFL updates. Julio Jones says, I'm out of there when asked about his future with the Falcons. Jones requested a trade at the beginning of the offseason in March. Atlanta has asked teams that have called for a first-round draft pick. Now the question becomes, at this point, is he worth a first-round draft pick? And Kevin, or excuse me, a first-round pick. Kevin and I are also going to talk about this in our upcoming segment.
Yeah, definitely want to expand on it, but I absolutely believe that he is worth a first-round pick. We'll expand on the why in just a couple of moments. But I also, I mean, how blunt from Julio Jones. I'm out of there. I mean, imagine, like, hey, Julio, like, do you still want to be a fan? No.
Everyone was out of their organizations these days.
I mean, it's certainly growing. It seems like NFL players have had enough of, you know, losing organizations or losing situations. And Julio is the next in that line of athlete.
And quickly, want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7 and 7 top headlines. Since we're talking about players that went out, Aaron Rodgers, the drama is continuing. He spoke on the issues within the Packers organization on SportsCenter last night, saying the beef is not about drafting Jordan Love, but rather the way it was handled. Now, we know Rodgers is coming off his third MVP award season, and he also expressed this offseason that he wanted out. And I feel like it's just among all the players, everybody's, like I mentioned, wanting out.
Yeah, Rodgers has clearly had enough. The thing is, it appears that the departure was going to happen, and then he won an MVP, and it's like, well, we got to keep Rodgers around. But it's like, also, what did you think that, like, there was nothing that suggested Rodgers was done or washed, in my opinion, at least. So it's just in very, very difficult spot. And I think the only way that Rodgers comes back is if they fire their general manager. And I don't know if that's going to happen. So I'm still not really banking on him returning to Green Bay.
And again, NFL updates in our next segment. Let's take it to the ice. So Connor McDavid and the Oilers were swept in round one by the Jets. Edmonton lost last night 4-3 in triple overtime.
Triple OT. I mean, imagine your season's on the line. If you're Edmonton, you win that game, you go back home. Okay, we've won game five. Game seven's in our build. Like, and you never even get one in the series. A close series, a competitive series, but ultimately all Winnipeg wins that sees the very likely MVP and Connor McDavid bounced in round number one.
And let's quickly take it to the field for our last headline. The Tampa Bay Rays win 11 straight with a 14-8 win over the Blue Jays, scoring 7 runs in the 11th inning. Rays complete the 4-game sweep against Toronto and insert themselves in the AL East race.
Man, a bazillion runs scored in extras. I think there was 10 through the first 9 innings, and then there was 2 extra innings that had 12 runs. What a tremendous thing extra innings is when a man on second. Very, very fun for overbetters, as Aaron mentioned. But ultimately, how about Tampa Bay? I mean, just piping hot right now. This AL East, you've got the American League favorites in the Yankees playing great baseball. Boston continues to put results on the board. And now the Rays never lose games, just refuse to do it. It's going to be some battle there atop the AL East.
In the Rays, plus 400 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the AL East. Stay with us here. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the OA Line on Sports here on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Let's get into some NFL headlines. So as we talked about in our 7-7, Julio Jones says, I'm out there when asked about his future with the Falcons. Now, we know he's one of the faces of the franchise. He's played 10 years in an Atlanta uniform. He's led the league in receiving yards twice in 2015, 2018. He started in 134 of the 135 games that he's played in. Now, Jones had one of his worst seasons last year, limited to 9 games due to injury, so unable to put up his usual numbers. While his catch percentage was the best of his career in those 9 games, his average 86 yards per game was his lowest since 2012. Now, Jones requesting a trade, and it seems like Atlanta is open to trading him, which is interesting. I mean, Kevin, he's had so many great years with this team. He had an injury. Obviously, his numbers are not going to be the same. What do you think that Atlanta should do in this situation?
Yeah, so right before we even get to who should be calling, Atlanta, I think at this point, has to move on from Julio Jones. They're clearly listening to offers, right? We know Green Bay, they say, we're not interested in moving on from Aaron Rodgers. That's not the case here at the Falcons. And they made this clear, by the way, before the draft. They were like, yeah, we have to listen to offers on any and all players. Our cap situation is less than ideal. We know that they need to wait for June 1st to pass to make sure that the money makes sense when they move on from Julio Jones. So this move won't be happening just yet, but I think it has to be around the corner, ultimately. And the fact that we already heard that they were, you know, seeking first-round picks as compensation, I think they know what they want. I think they know that they need to move on. And also, clearly, Julio wants out of there, not only requesting a trade a couple of months ago, but, you know, wearing a Cowboys hoodie in you know, the mall, working out with Derrick Henry and posting it all over social media. And then what is probably something he was very aware of on national television when asked about staying in Atlanta, saying, quote, "I'm out of there." I think you're looking at a situation where Julio Jones playing for the Falcons feels like a long shot at this point.
Yeah. And he's made it very evident, like you mentioned, that he does want out of there. But what's interesting to me is obviously that he spent 10 seasons with the Falcons. Do you believe that a player at some point on a team just becomes, one, let's say, too much money? They're kind of regressing just because of age or things like that, even though you're saying he is worth a first-round pick. I know you've mentioned that. But do you think that these players get upset when the teams have to make a business decision and they take it a little bit more personally than, let's say, hey, I had a great run, maybe I have to move on to a different team?
So Julio is one of my favorites because in a league that often feels as if the players don't have a ton of power, Julio a long time ago was like, not me. Every single offseason making them restructure his deal and making him the highest paid receiver in the league, he's like, oh, well, I'm the best receiver, so you have to give me the most money. And like, what was Atlanta going to tell him? You're not the best receiver? And so I'm going to hold out. And then he'd hold out for a little bit. And then they'd give him his money and he'd come right back. So Julio's been playing this game with Atlanta for a long time now. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he understands that the game's the game. But I also think with a disaster season last year and aging Matt Ryan, a brand new head coach, a brand new front office, I think Julio's ready to find himself competing for possible Super Bowls. I think it's also difficult when you're the Atlanta Falcons in the same division as the reigning Super Bowl champions and probably don't feel like you have any chance to compete with that team.
Now, I know you've mentioned he posted working out with Derrick Henry. In terms of the market available for where he will go next, the Titans plus 175. Then you have Atlanta also at plus 250. Of course, they keep the team that they're on always usually on the board. Pats plus 500. Dan Fran and the Washington football team both at plus 750. Do you think the Titans will be his next landing spot?
So the Titans make a ton of sense, right? A.J. Brown, an absolute superstar. But outside of A.J. Brown, almost every other passing option is gone. Jonnu Smith is in New England. Corey Davis went to the Jets. I mean, they are bare of wide receiver talent. Clearly, they would love to have him there. And what a tremendous 1-2 punch he would be alongside A.J. Brown. I think New England makes some sense as well, because they have no wide receiver talent. They've continued to ignore the wide receiver position. And for anybody out there perhaps low on Cam Newton, I understand that. But around the league, he is loved by a lot of these players. And I think Julio would love to take a chance on Cam Newton. The other team that I have to bring up is the Green Bay Packers. I mean, you want to keep Aaron? You get Julio Jones, he ain't going anywhere. You get Julio Jones, Aaron Rodgers is going absolutely nowhere, as he could arguably have the two best wide receivers in football, period, in Davante Adams and Julio Jones, now available to him in Green Bay. If Green Bay got Julio Jones, I think they move to NFC favorites in front of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and of course, speaking of the Packers, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, the drama just continues and continues. It seems that he's holding out at this point. I mean, we expected him to do these, obviously, because these OTAs are voluntary. He did forfeit $500,000 in a workout bonus in his contract for not showing up, as he obviously contemplates his future with the team. But this also becomes kind of the question that I had asked you about Julio Jones. Obviously, they had drafted Jordan Love. And I don't think this was done in the sense of, hey, we want to replace Rodgers. I think it's just like, we need a backup in our next, you know, future star. I mean, they didn't say Jordan Love is the next Aaron Rodgers. They didn't say anything like that. So I'd understand if maybe that was said and he was really upset. Obviously, making it to the NFC Championship in two of the last seasons each is just something that they weren't able to get it done, go to the Super Bowl. So I'm not sure if he's mad at the coaching staff along with the GM. Obviously, we know he's mad at the GM, but I don't really know where he would fit in somewhere else just yet. Like, where do you see Aaron Rodgers trying to go at this point?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficult thing, I think, here with Rodgers, is trying to find a landing spot. Like, we all keep pointing towards Denver, but I feel like the only reason we point towards Denver is because we've heard some rumors. Like, does it really make any sense for Denver or for Rodgers? Why am I going to Pat Mahomes' division if I'm Aaron Rodgers? Why am I going to a team that, sure, like, there's some pieces there, I think Jerry Jeudy's can be very good. I think Courtland Sutton, if he returns from the ACL injury, can be very good. But why am I doing that if I'm Rodgers and if I'm the Denver Broncos after just trading for Teddy Bridgewater and still going into the third year of Drew Lock? Am I pressing the panic button? I don't think that's necessary. Like, there isn't a clear and obvious landing spot for Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Now, it's Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP. A lot of teams should move a lot of things around if all of a sudden he wanted to be your quarterback. But Green Bay certainly isn't going to move on from him with ease. You're going to have to offer up a considerable package. This is a situation where I think Green Bay is going to say no shot. I think Rodgers is going to be very stuck in his stance. And is it, man, it's tough, but it might have to be a situation where unless they move on from the GM, we lose Rodgers for a season. Yeah. Man, that would be stunning.
I don't know if you'd want to do that, though. I don't even know if – I mean, does Rodgers not want to play an entire season? I know you had mentioned the Denver Broncos, and right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, you can bet on who the Denver Broncos are going to have as their starting quarterback. You can do that for New England, New Orleans, and also San Francisco. But the one team you can't bet on still is the Texans. So we know Deshaun Watson also skipped OTAs and wants to be traded amid all these lawsuits and allegations. For months, we've been waiting to see if the Texans are going to make a move. One thing they did do was obviously drafted Davis Mills and signed former Charger Tyrod Taylor. But it's interesting to see what the Texans are going to do because now you have multiple quarterbacks. Obviously, Deshaun Watson's situation completely different from the Aaron Rodgers situation in terms of things that are going on behind the scenes. But just, again, two players that have vocalized this offseason aside, you know, two, I would say, high-profile players vocalizing they want out.
It's the one thing, though, that here on the early line we've tried to remind people of. While the big story with Deshaun Watson is basically whether or not his playing career will be over, which is probably what's on the line with his current situation, if all of the sudden everything is cleared up and he is found innocent of all accusations, he does not then say, great, let's get to work, Houston. He wants nothing to do with that organization and stands firm in those feelings quite clearly.
Yes, like you said, standing firm there. Stay with us here. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the MLB and the NHL a little bit. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid. I'm SiriusXM, Channel 204. Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now time to get into Major League Baseball. Yesterday, favorites and underdogs split 4-4 with upsets by the Mariners, Indians, Twins, and Rockies. Overs 5-3. So let's start with one game last night, the Cardinals versus the White Sox. White Sox win 5-1. Game two is today with the White Sox favor the total at 7.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Wanted to mention in terms of a betting trend, under is 6-2 in the last 8 meetings, and the Sox are tied for the AL lead in triples with 10.
So I'm very excited for this game. Lucas Giolito, one of the American League's best, against Mr. Wins, Jack Flaherty. 9 starts, 8-0 record. The Cardinals have won all 9 Jack Flaherty starts. I got to back Flaherty. I am rooting this on. I am not hiding this at all. I want Jack Flaherty to win 25 games and really test how far things are moved in terms of Cy Young voting. We know that ERA and strikeouts and all of the advanced numbers have mattered more than ever. And they should. I agree with that. But a big number like 25 wins, something we've not seen in 20, 30 years, all of a sudden will make people wonder, think, contemplate. I want Jack Flaherty to win every single game that he starts. Luckily for him, he's a tremendous pitcher with a good lineup behind him. I think the Cardinals at plus 126. Give me Jack Flaherty here to win again.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Let's also talk about the Padres versus the Brewers. Game one, Brewers win 5-3, ending the Padres' 9-game win streak. Now for game two, the Brewers are favored with Burns on the mound, total at 7. Under is 7-0 in the last 7.
Ooh, man. Oh, man. Don't like to hear that. Then again, it's a good trend. I just don't like unders very much. Corbin Burns, very, very different than Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty doesn't lose. Corbin Burns, who is, I think, still the second choice for NL Cy Young, 6 starts. They've only won 2 of Corbin Burns' 6 starts. He's lost 3 straight starts. Is that his fault? Nah, not really. But that's what it is. They're, and we talked about this with Jacob deGrom. Sometimes you're out there, maybe you feel a little bit more pressure to help your guy, you're not able to do so. Things aren't going Corbin Burns' way right now, not getting run support. It's not like he's getting blown up. His you know, in Miami, things weren't ideal. He's only, you know, he gave up 1 run in 5 innings against St. Louis, got a loss, and then a no decision after giving up 2 runs in 6 innings of work against the Royals. I look at this spot right now, I think a Padres team that is baseball's best record, just saw a 9-game winning streak snap, bounce back here at a plus 122 price against the pitcher who's got great stuff, but they're seemingly not getting the results when he's on the mound. Let's go with another dog. Dog day in baseball? Maybe. Give me a dog. Padres plus 122.
You know we always love taking the dogs. Let's also talk about the Mets and the Rockies. Game one, Rockies win 3-2. But for game two today, Jacob deGrom is going to be on the mound. We have them as heavy favorites with the total at 6.5. How do you think deGrom's going to play being back in?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to probably be fantastic. Strikeout, double-digit Rockies, and this game will end, 2-1 Colorado. I mean, what a joke. What a joke. It's just like they should blast this team. Right? You have to think so. DeGrom is going to likely go out there and dazzle. The one thing is, it's the first time that we are seeing DeGrom since he was injured. How much, if at all, is that injury lingering? Of course, is the main question. Now, if you ask the Palm Beach Cardinals, not at all. As he was sitting 102 on the gut and struck out 8 of 9 batters. Yes, they're minor leaguers, but they were still hopeless here. I anticipate DeGrom being excellent. I think Kyle Freeland is a guy that the Mets should be able to hit. I would think, yeah, lay a run and a half with the Mets. It should be no problem. But this is what they do. They don't score for DeGrom. It's a mess. I would think the Mets minus a run and a half is the play. But we've seen this just go so left on DeGrom so many times. It's tough to say it with much confidence. Yeah.
And the betting trend for this game under is 7-1-2 in the last 10. Let's also talk about the Blue Jays versus the Yankees. This series starting with the Blue Jays just swept by the Rays, while the Yankees just swept the White Sox. And the Yankees are favored with Kluber on the mound, total at 9.5. And just wanted to mention Blue Jays 6-2 in their last 8 games.
So Toronto is, you know, kind of struggling a little bit, but the Yankees are red hot, and you've got Corey Kluber now taking the mound for the first time since the no-hitter, right? We've seen, you know, sometimes they say you want to fade guys off the no-hitters. That's not been an untouchable trend to this point. It's been kind of here or there, but it'll be interesting to see. The one thing for Kluber coming off of the no-hitter, sometimes guys have very high pitch counts. He only threw 101 pitches in that no-hitter. Like, it wasn't even his season high, which is quite interesting. He's been dialed of recent. He has 1 game this year against these very same Blue Jays, was only able to last 4 innings, gave up 3 runs and 6 hits. So this is a lineup that had success against him early season. Steven Matz has been solid this year for the Blue Jays. Again, not overwhelming. It's been a give or take. I think this could be an underplay, though, at 9.5 mm-hmm. runs, taking Toronto out of Dunedin, going to the Bronx. The Yanks bats have been good enough. They've not been great, but they've been good enough behind some very solid starting pitching. By the way, Aaron, listen to this. Yankees starters, 35 straight innings without giving up a run. Unbelievable. That's, a run that started crazy. that started with Kluber's no-hitter. So I think that the under in a Yanks-Blue Jays game is the play. Ugh, I hate that.
Interesting. I know you hate taking the unders, but again, Blue Jays 6-2 in the last 8 meetings against the Yankees. Let's also talk about the Dodgers versus the Astros. Clayton Kershaw on the mound. Dodgers favored, total at 8.5. The under is 6-1-1 in the last 8 in Houston.
This is a big old game here because there are two teams more than any that hate the Houston Astros. The Yankees, who believe that the opportunity to compete for a World Series was taken away from them by the Houston Astros, and then the team that believes the World Series was taken away from them in the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, this is a trip to Houston, so it is not going to be a hostile environment for the Astros. I'm sure some Dodgers fans will travel for the game, but ultimately it's home cooking for Houston, a ballpark that they've been good in this season, 15-9 overall. The Dodgers just got themselves above 500 with a sweep of the Giants on the road. They're now 13-12. They've won 7 consecutive games. The Astros come in after being swept by the Rangers. It's baffling to me that that possibly happened. I look at this spot, though, here. Boy, I know it is very tricky to fade a Dodgers team that's red hot at only minus 116, but you've got Greinke going. Mm-hmm. You're at home now as Houston. I think, again, what's gotten into me here? I think I lean with the dog at minus 102. I like dogs and
rubbing
unders.
Up on you.
What is going on?
Yeah, I'm just rubbing off. You love the overs. I try to take more overs. Now I'm taking a lot of dogs. You're taking a lot of dogs. But it seems like a lot of these games are kind of trending towards the under today for some of the betting trends that I had mentioned. Are there any other notable games that you want to mention or any trends that you find important for today's slate?
Yeah, certainly keep in mind the fact that the Rays are going for a 12th straight victory. 12 straight.
Crazy.
They're starting a series at home versus the Royals. So, I mean, they're very likely going to be favorites consistently in that series. This could get out of hand. Also, do keep in mind as well, we got a Max Scherzer start. Always like to point out when one of the aces of the league is on the mound, going up at home against the Cincinnati Reds is a minus 196 favorite.
There you go. There you have it. We also have the NHL playoffs going on. 2 games on the board tonight. Wanted to mention the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Canadiens. Mm-hmm. The series, Maple Leafs are leading 2-1. This is also a back-to-back game right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Toronto Maple Leafs minus 174 on the money line total at 5.5. But, of course, that back-to-back game, Kev, it seems like maybe you'd want to take the under in this case.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point, right? You would think that there would be some tired legs out there. Also, it's been a low-scoring series in right now between these squads. 2 of the 3 games having 3 goals or less. There was one game where Toronto had things working and ultimately, you know, were able to put 5 past Montreal and Carey Price there. But I think you're looking at a spot now where it's still a lot of unders, it feels like, right, in the postseason. Mm-hmm. I know that that's what most people seem to be pointing towards. I know some of these games have maybe started to pick up scoring here, but a 2-1 lead for Toronto, I would say this is a spot where if you're a believer in Montreal, you got to think this is their game. Being the host and not looking to go down 3-1.
And speaking of hosting, the Carolina Hurricanes are going to host the Predators. Now, Nashville always plays well at home. Now they're on the road. I'd be shocked, especially after they had just taken 2 games from them, that the Carolina Hurricanes wouldn't win this one. Obviously, they're heavy favorites. Maybe you'd want to put that in a parlay. You wouldn't want to lay minus 196 on the money line unless you want to. I mean, of course, personal preference, but total at 5.5 for that as well.
Don't be scared of some cross-sport parlays. Do not be scared of it. You do not have to parlay the Hurricanes with the Maple Leafs or the Canadiens, okay? Mm-hmm. If you love the Clippers tonight, how about Hurricanes and Clippers? If you're looking to play Major League Baseball, Jacob DeGrom and the Hurricanes, like, I think that's a great point, Aaron. I think they're a nice parlay piece.
Stay with us here on the early line. We'll be right back.
Expert perspective.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Doan. There's three big NBA games on the board tonight. We have the Celtics versus the Nets, Lakers, Suns, Mavs, Clippers. Obviously, Kev, these are three big games that I'm amped up for tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What we wanted to do is kind of, you know, bring back some of the interesting stuff we had talked about. But I also want to break in a little bit more in some of these series prices, specifically the Clippers and the Mavericks here. Mm-hmm. So the Clippers were around minus 350, minus 400, I believe, pre-series to win this. They go out there, they lose game number one. They're now minus 144 to win the series. They're plus 180 to win the series in six games or less, a number I have contemplated here. Ultimately, though, Aaron, I think I would have come back around on the Clips at minus 144 because I think they win tonight. And I know then that that number is going to shoot back up probably past minus 200. Also, something that you and I have talked a lot about, though, Dallas is vulnerable at home. Like, I absolutely think the Clippers can walk into Dallas and win games, maybe multiple games. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers still won this series in six games here at minus 144. I think that's a good enough number to get involved with the Clippers. Do you think the value is still there on the Clips at minus 144 down a game?
I mean, obviously, I think they're going to be able to win this series. So if you're going to take them now, this would be the game to take them. Because obviously, if they come back and win the next game, meaning tonight, I feel like the line's going to move out. And we've seen some of these teams like really jump after just one win. One of them being Atlanta. They moved to minus 245 to beat the New York Knicks, even though it was just Trae Young able to have that last shot and get that win. It was really, really tight. So that's kind of interesting to me. But I also wanted to mention, since we're kind of bringing up some of these series prices, there's not great value in terms of some other teams on the board. For example, the Brooklyn Nets, minus 3,000 to beat the Celtics. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the Lakers, it's interesting because they're obviously still up there to win the NBA title, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But they're both teams are at minus money, the Lakers and the Suns, to win the series, which is obviously quite interesting to me, given that they have so much faith that they could still win it all.
Yeah, it's very tight. I would say it is the series that saw the smallest move after the opening game, which is interesting. Again, I don't know if I've ever, I'm trying to like remember, but it was almost as if the book was like, yeah, the Suns are going to win the first game. We know that. And now we think the Lakers are going to handle business. Like nothing about the first game seemed to surprise them. I know it didn't surprise you, Aaron. You felt like Phoenix was going to be able to get game number one. The Lakers drop, but not massively. I think ultimately they were about a minus 170 number, right? They lose that game and now they're, let's roughly minus 120, about 50 cents of move. Look at everywhere else. I mean, the Sixers, is, you know, they're now minus 1,800. The Nets are now minus 3,000. They were minus 1,000. We knew they were going to win the first game. Like, that's, and that's how much you moved it. The Clippers, again, they go from, you know, about minus 350 to minus 150. Like, massive moves in all of these series after one game, except for Lakers Suns. I don't think they want to flip the Lakers to plus money. They know how dangerous that would be.
And then in terms of the futures market, we know you can bet on the NBA title. You can also bet on the Eastern Conference champion and who you think was going to win that. But the Western Conference champion market is completely locked up. You can't bet on that right now. Yeah. Why do you think that is, Kev?
I think it has to do with the uncertainty, or maybe not, maybe uncertainty is not the word, but the possibility that not just the Lakers, but the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Jazz, your three Western Conference favorites, might all go down 0-2. Now, none of them are favored to lose game or to game number two, right? But it's still now possible. The fact that the Clippers were upset the Jazz were upset and the Lakers lost as they were favored to, it makes things very difficult for the book. Let me give people an example as to what's going to happen here if, say, a certain scenario plays out. If the Lakers lose, the Clippers win, you're going to see the Lakers, for the first time all season long, no longer be the favorites in the West. They will drop below both the Clippers and the Jazz in odds to win the West. They'll probably drop below Phoenix as well, because Phoenix is then going to become the favorite to win the series. So if the Lakers lose tonight, right, they are going to go from the favorites in the West to the fourth choice in the West. That is a considerable move. I think it's difficult for the book right now to split the difference, because while the Lakers are favorites, it's slight, marginal. It's a two-point number. I think that's probably why you have some hesitancy there to post that number, because of how drastic everything will be swinging off of tonight's game.
And in the finals champion market, I just wanted to mention the Nets plus 210, Lakers, Bucks, 76ers, all at plus 650. Then the Clippers plus 750, along with the Jazz, Suns 13-1, Mavericks 27-1, the Portland Trailblazers 32-1. Do you think now that the Lakers, the Bucks, 76ers are all kind of grouped at plus 650, that's also saying something about the Lakers?
Yeah, absolutely. The Lakers were plus 465 before game number one. I mean,
do you think you take them now if you really believe in them, just given this number? Like, do you find that there's going to be better value on that? Or do you think we're kind of hitting the panic button at some point? Let's say if they lose this game, obviously we're going to be hitting the panic button. But just in terms of some of these numbers, if you're going to get the Lakers at any price that is good right now, I mean, it's literally right now you want to take it if you think they're actually going to win. Mm-hmm.
If you trust in tonight's result, you absolutely take the plus 650. Again, I have the Lakers to win the title at plus 480. I am not, you know, concerned just yet after one game. I'm not. As you said, if they lose tonight, then all of a sudden there's some concern. At least they go back to LA, they host the next two. You would expect them to win those games and you worry a little bit less. But, you know, they go down. Again, they're going to be jumped if they lose tonight by the Bucks, the Sixers, the Clippers, the Jazz, and the Suns, with the Nets already in front of them. They're going to be the seventh choice on the board to win the title. So let me ask this, Aaron. If the Lakers lose tonight, knowing that they would host games 3 and 4, do you think then they could still win the series?
I think on paper, yes, but I think a lot of this also relies on Chris Paul and if that shoulder contusion is actually going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. If it is, the Suns have no hope. I didn't think going into the series that the Suns were going to be able to win this. We kind of were saying, oh my gosh, that kind of stinks for the Suns. They're going to have to face the Lakers. But I also think that the more and more we talk about the Lakers, we're like, they're such a good team. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But eventually the conversation's going to flip to, okay, now we have to worry about this because they're in a position that they're down two games.
Here is my betting advice for somebody that wants to bet the Lakers to win the title right now. And if you believe that even if they lose tonight, you're still in on the Lakers, you bet them tonight on the money line at minus 126. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you win that bet, yes, the plus 650 is going to drop down, but you also just watch them go level 1-1. And even if it drops down from plus 650, how much is it going to drop down? Right? Is it going to go all of a sudden to like plus 300? No. 400? Still probably not. Like, it's going to be a number, I would say at this point, looks like maybe 5-1 or better, which is better odds than what I was able to get right before the postseason was able to begin. Also, you can use your winnings off of the game 2 money line bet as basically your buy-in on the Lakers to win the title. If they lose, right, and you lose your wager tonight, while that would be unfortunate, the Lakers are going to go to 10-1 to win the title. 10-1 probably to win the NBA championship if they go down 0-2 to Phoenix. At which point then, who cares about plus 650 or losing game 2? You now have an astronomical number on the defending champions going back home to the Staples Center.
And Kev, I also want to get your advice and kind of give this to our viewers and listeners in terms of some of these teams having basically an overreaction to a particular game. Let's say, for example, Miami-Milwaukee. So obviously last night, completely dominant. You see that game, you're like, oh my gosh, they came out, they were so great. They dominated the entire game. Again, this was just one game as opposed to the first game where it was very, very tight. Do you think that you want to wait in terms of some things, in terms of teams that are kind of moving up the board? Let's say you think the Milwaukee Bucks did good in that game. You quickly are like, oh, they're going to win the finals. Or do you think that you should just be betting, again, kind of honing in on series to series?
That's a great question. So Milwaukee plus 650 to win the title, plus 260 to win the East. The one thing we need to keep in mind with Milwaukee, they're going to be series dogs to Brooklyn, assuming that they're able to get past Miami, right? And not only will they be series dogs, but they're going to be dogs in all of those games against Brooklyn in Brooklyn. So that's where it becomes very interesting with the Bucks. Is now plus 650 is a nice number, right? Plus 650, I'm not mad at if you wanted to grab it on Milwaukee, because you can certainly, you know, beat that number throughout. I'll just say you're going to also be able to not only go series to series, but game to game against Brooklyn because of how highly power rated Brooklyn is. You notice, by the way, did you notice Brooklyn has actually dropped lower now from plus 105 to plus 110? Marginal, marginal drop. But that's because, in my opinion, it is now more likely they're going to play Milwaukee in round number two and probably be playing Philadelphia if they get past Milwaukee in round three, which are series in which will be booked very, very closely, as we've been saying for months.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And since we're kind of talking about Brooklyn a little bit here, they're going to play the Celtics tonight. They are laying 9, total of 227. As for the Lakers-Sun matchup, Lakers minus 1.5, total of 209. For the Mavericks and Clippers, Clippers laying 6.5 with a total of 217. Are there any favorite plays that you have for tonight?
Yeah, let's rip through a couple player props here. I think from the Nets-Celtics games, if you're looking at back Boston props, Kemba stands out to me at 22.5, that number coming down from where it was in game number one. He missed it in game number one. He only played 27 minutes. Compare that to 40-plus minutes for Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum. It was foul trouble. I think Kemba will be far more cautious, way more minutes, way more attempts. I think Kemba over 22.5. On the Brooklyn side, I like both Durant and Harden. I like Durant over 27.5. KD was shot 40% in game number one on 25 attempts. I trust the volume, and I know he's going to be more efficient. One of the most efficient scorers in the history of the NBA has not had consecutive sub-45% field goal percentage games more than once all season long. He's going to shoot 50% in this next game here. I love that usage. Harden had 8 assists in game one. His prop is 9.5. I love it to the over. They were awful, awful shooting from the floor and from three in game one. He averages 12 assists per game when the big three all plays together, double digits in 5 out of 6. Lakers game favorite prop, AD over 24.5. He has to play it. You like the Lakers on the money line there. And then a little wild player prop available for Clippers Mavericks. Ivica Zubac over 7.5 has hit that in game number one. All three meetings versus Dallas this regular season and 5 of the 6 postseason games that these teams played last year.
Yep, and you can bet on all three of these games right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. So yesterday, I was not on the show, and the one thing that they had talked about here in Val territory was Phil Mickelson winning, of course, on Sunday. I was so excited. I was watching this actually with my dad, who is also above the age of 50, so I think it was pretty cool for him to be able to see that. And I know that you guys had asked the question, would you be playing sports at the age of 50? I, for one, hope health-wise I would be able to do that. I don't know if my choice is going to be golf, but Kev, I want to know your response for this.
Yeah, I was saying for me, I hope so as well. I've been trying to, you know, stay active, play a little hoops outside as much as possible, trying to get back into the flow of things. I was mentioning, like, you know, all of a sudden I found out I'm going to have to see people perhaps in public on a more regular basis soon. I need to find a way to lose 20 pounds in like 24 hours, which is going to be tough, but it's not going to probably happen. Do you think you're going to still be, you know, running around at the age of 50?
Yeah, I definitely love being active. I just feel like the one thing I'd be doing is probably lifting weights, because I feel like you see all those videos of like 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds doing those cool like lifting things, and that's going to be me with like some crazy outfit on and people probably staring at me like, what is this old lady doing? But 50 is not old. 50 is not old. I'm talking about people that are in the 70s and 80s. Not discrediting anybody at 50, but no, I hope that I, God willing, am able to really be kicking it like that at 50. I feel like Phil was so happy too. And his Twitter was so funny after that. I was like, this is just gold.
The best was they asked him about like the odds on him to win in the PGA Championship. He's like, I don't really understand that. I'm not much of a gambling man. For those that don't know, Phil is a massive gambler, like monster gambler, which was tremendous. I think my plan is to eventually, you know, tag along with our producer Brian's softball team, you know, maybe check in, you know, hit like sixth in the order, work my way up. Brian's on fire. Game number one yesterday, 3-for-4 performance in a doubleheader. He's probably going to have to get moved up that lineup. Big game tomorrow, so hopefully he's well rested. We're rooting for him
we'll
here on the early line.
On that.
It's big
we'll
stuff.
See you here tomorrow on the early line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Again, please join us tomorrow morning. We'll have a lot to talk about. See you then.
Sports Info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.